wild about you. You know that, right?
I know. I stroked my fingers down his back. Clothes, Jackson. He sighed in sexual frustration. I really hate her right now. She's 5, I teased, knowing full well that he meant Claire.
Smartass, he quipped, but rolled out of bed. Wear whatever you want if you don't feel like wearing yesterday's clothes,
he told me after he yanked some shorts up over his boxer briefs and tugged a t-shirt over the carved lines I'd had yet to play with. We really needed to remedy that soon. Get out of here, I chastised, still sitting in the middle of his bed. He flashed a grin at me and vanished through the doorway.
I'd barely set my feet on the ground when I heard him bellow, "She's my girlfriend!" Guess we were labeled now, huh?
I walked into his closet and marveled at the neat, organized rows he kept his clothes in. The man might be laid back in some departments, but apparently he liked his stuff tidy. I selected a soft t-shirt and settled for yesterday's shorts. I could tie the shirt, but there was no way anything of Jackson's was going to remotely fit my bottom. Once I was appropriately dressed and had popped my head in to see Finn lost in her seashell collection, I headed downstairs and found Jackson trying his darndest to get Claire out the door while my friends pretended not to hear anything from where they sat around his dining room table. I wasn't sure if I should kick them out or laugh at how awkward it all was.
I'll be right in, and don't be mad at me. They look like little lost puppies, Jackson explained from the doorway. I couldn't leave them out in the rain.
Uh-huh, I shook my head at him. It's lovely to see you again, Claire. She muttered something before Jackson closed the door, sealing them outside. Sam was the only one to approach me as I made 2 cups of coffee, searched for Jackson's creamer, only to realize he didn't have any, and settled for milk, which was not the same. Give them a chance, she said quietly as I stirred in my sugar. My stomach twisted, unwilling to face the can of worms I'd opened yesterday, but I was the one who'd lost my temper, which meant I owed them their say, too. Okay, I finally answered. She let out a breath of relief and walked to the table with me. I took the vacant seat at the foot of the table, and Sam slid into the empty one on my right. Paisley sat to my left with Jagger, who had Peyton on his lap. Josh took the head of the table, Ember to his left, next to Sam. Each one of them looked at me with resignation and a touch of fear. I was hit with an immediate longing for Grayson, who was the most even-tempered of us all.
I'm sorry,
Paisley started, already tearing up.
I'm so sorry for abandoning you when you needed me most. I can make 1,000 excuses, but the truth is, I should have been the one to call you. I should have been the one to sit with you and comfort you and, well, I should have done a lot of things. I knew how much you loved him, and I had hoped that you too would have a future. I so wanted that for you. And you're right. It isn't fair that you never got that chance. And it isn't fair that I wasn't there for you, especially when you've always been there for me.
The pure misery in her voice hurt my soul. Regardless of the last 2 years, she was my very best friend. 2 years of neglect didn't negate a lifetime of love and support. Jagger reached for her hand and laced their fingers on the tabletop.
I know you had your hands full, I said softly, warming my hands with my coffee mug.
Jagger's health was your first concern, as it should have been. No one could expect you to balance a wounded husband, pregnancy, and a grieving best friend.
You could have, she shook her head. You should have. And I'm sorry for what I said to Josh that day in the cemetery. I tried to soothe his guilt, and instead I hurt you immeasurably with incredibly thoughtless words. You have my deepest apology, Morgan.
I swallowed the lump in my throat. But it wasn't anxiety. Thank you.
There are so many things that I need to apologize for, and I hope you'll give me that chance. I love you. You're the only sister I have left.
She swatted away a tear.
I'm sorry for unleashing my temper on you yesterday. I turned the cup in a nervous fidget.
No, Ember chided. It was a long time coming, and we deserved every word of it. I just wish you'd lost your shit on us 2 years ago. I'm so sorry that I didn't see how much pain you were in at the funeral, that I didn't see it at my wedding or Sam's.
The lump in my throat grew. That's not your fault.
I'm mostly sorry that I didn't tell you that I talked to Will right before he came down to see you.
Her face contorted as she struggled for control.
I should have told you that he said you were perfect. He told me you were funny and gorgeous and reminded him who he really was underneath everything else.
My chest constricted and my nose started to burn.
I don't think he took so long to come around because he didn't want to be with you, she continued. It was because he thought you deserved someone who had a whole heart to give. He was trying to protect you. He wanted to be certain that he could love you the way you loved him. And when he left that night, he was hopeful about a future with you.
She smiled, but it was shaky.
I'm so sorry I didn't tell you that sooner.
I tried to straighten my puckered, crumpled face and failed. Thank you for telling me now.
It was so similar to what he'd said that night, to what he'd said in the video.
I'm sorry I'm here, and he's not. Jagger admitted in a near whisper.
God, no! Jagger, no!
I shook my head violently.
Hey, you got to unload yesterday, and now it's our turn.
A corner of his mouth lifted.
I think about him every day. I think about him in the moments I'm happiest. Because he'll never get the chances I've had. He'll never get to see you wear white or watch you carry his child. I might not say it, but trust me, I think it. We all knew you two were inevitable. We just didn't know what was coming for us. I'm so fucking sorry for your loss, Morgan, and for the time it took us all to finally say it.
The warmth of the mug started to burn, but I didn't release it. The truth is that Will had the chance to do all that. He just didn't take it. Not in time, at least. That's on him, not on you, Jagger. He wanted you to live because he made a promise to Peyton that he'd always take care of Paisley, and that's what he did. He took care of Paisley and your son. Damn if that boy didn't love a good promise. My eyes fell to my cup and then rose to Sam when she tapped her finger on the table in distraction.
I'm sorry I let you put the necklace in with him.
My jaw slackened.
You wear that boy like a shield of armor around your heart, and I can't help but feel like I let you bury yourself with him that day.
She forced a smile.
Oh, and I'm sorry that I left you our first day here to run for tequila that you couldn't even drink, but I guess it all turned out okay.
She glanced around Jackson's house and then smiled. Yeah, it did. I smiled right back at her, marveling that I could discuss Will and still feel that warm glow in my chest for Jackson.
Are you guys okay with Jackson? Not that I'm going to walk out on him if you don't like him or anything, of course. But he's so good to me. And I know it's foolish to even think of being with someone who flies the same damn helicopter.
Stop. Josh interrupted. We're going to love whoever you find worthy enough to love, Morgan. Jagger and I are both flying again, too. And I'm sure Paisley and Ember feel that same fear. But they put up with us anyway. You wouldn't call that foolish. And I'm not going to let you think you're foolish, either. We can't help who we love.
He shrugged.
But if you could help it, he's a damn good choice from what we've seen.
Totally. Whatever makes you happy.
I wish he flew a real helicopter, but he's cool enough.
I put my stamp of approval on that man the minute he swam up the beach and ran by. The fact that he's just as nice as he is hot is a bonus.
Sam winked. My soul settled. Calmed. Josh cleared his throat.
I'm sorry that I didn't do this a hell of a lot sooner. Do what? Jackson asked, coming to stand behind me with his hand on my shoulder. Thanks for the coffee. Sorry it took so long. She's Claire.
He pressed a kiss to the top of my head.
Pull up a stool, Josh instructed, motioning toward the bar that separated the kitchen from the dining room.
Jackson fetched the nearest stool and sat beside me, holding my hand in his lap and setting his coffee on the table.
Josh glanced at Ember, and she nodded, offering her own hand across the corner of the table.
He took it and sighed so hard that his entire posture changed. My stomach didn't just twist, it sank. What was he about to say that had him that flustered? He looked up and met my eyes down the expanse of the table.
I was studying in my room that day in Afghanistan when Will walked in with a shit-eating grin and a bag of strawberry cheesecake cookies, asking if I was ready for his area orientation flight. That's all it was supposed to be. A quick, easy flight.
Chapter 20. Jackson. You can't be serious, Morgan drawled as she settled against me on her couch. She fit under my arm like she had been made for that exact spot. It's a modern classic, I argued, barely hiding my grin as I hovered the cursor over the buy button on Morgan's TV. Man, I freaking loved teasing her. I am not watching Sharknado on the only night I get you alone. Nope, not happening. She shot me a look that said she meant business as the microwave dinged. Come on, kitty. It has it all. Action, suspense, sharks falling from the sky. She got off the couch and headed for the kitchen, and I quickly followed after her, shamelessly checking out her ass in those tiny blue shorts. She wore a sweatshirt that hung off one shoulder, and with her hair twisted up into a knot, I got a sneak peek at her purple bra strap. There's nothing sexier than when Morgan was fully relaxed at home. Her home. My home. I was game for either. I told my dick to behave, but it wasn't really interested in listening. It had one status when Morgan was in the room, and that was erect. She reached into the new microwave and pulled out a freshly popped bag of popcorn. Grab the M&Ms? I lifted a rather skeptical brow, but did as she asked, then slid the package across the gray granite that had been installed in the kitchen almost 2 weeks ago. Hard to believe it was already the middle of June, and even harder to think I'd only known her for 3 months. She was a fixture in my world now, and every minute I spent around her only convinced me more that she was a permanent one. I hadn't just fallen for her. I was head over heels in love with her. I'd known it in the hour it had taken Josh to tell her the story of how Will had died. She was the strongest woman I'd ever known, even if she didn't think so. I loved everything about her, from the way her face formed the expressions of the characters in whatever book she was reading, to the determination with which she attacked each day. Hell, I even loved the colorful lesson plans she spent her days constructing, getting ready for the school year to start. I couldn't think of a single thing I didn't love about her. She dumped the popcorn into a bowl, then poured the M&Ms over it. I wasn't about to argue with the woman's choice of snacks, but it was definitely one of the odder things I'd seen. What can I do to help? She flashed a grin. Just stand there and look pretty. She'd been doing more of that since her friends had come, smiling and teasing. I wasn't going to go as far as to say that she was healed, and it wasn't for me to say anyway, but she had definitely taken a stride in that direction. A slim silver tape recorder caught my eye toward the back of the counter. What's this for? I asked, picking it up so I could show her what I meant. She looked up, blanched, and the bowl slipped out of her hands, rattling on the granite for a few seconds before it came to a stop. It's for therapy. Please don't press play.
Okay. I set it back down carefully. I wasn't going to, I promise.
Thank you. She shook it off and forced a smile. So, about Sharknado?
I laughed, then picked up the bowl. We can watch whatever you want, kitty. After all, stay in and veg out was your idea for date night, remember? A devilish gleam sparkled in her eye.
What about Jane Eyre or Pride and Prejudice?
I grimaced, but nodded. Like I said, anything you want.
You're only saying that because there's a storm going on and you can't drag me out to go jetpack surfing or whatever.
She took a couple of pieces of popcorn from the bowl with an M&M.
Open up. I obliged her and then groaned as the mixture of salty and sweet hit my tongue. Okay, I take back my earlier thoughts and doubts. That's amazing. And I've never heard of jetpack surfing, but I'd be up for trying it, I teased. She rose on her tiptoes and kissed me. It was soft and ended way too soon. There had been a crackling electricity between us since the morning we'd been interrupted in my bedroom. Between my work hours and Finn's evolving visitation schedule with Claire, Morgan and I hadn't been able to find more than an hour or two together, and the awareness between us was nearly painful. With Sam at Grayson's parents for the night, we were alone. Actually, truly, completely alone for the entire night. We settled back onto the couch and she flipped through movie options rapidly, as if she didn't care what we watched either, because we weren't really going to be watching it anyway. A gust of wind moved the chaise lounge on the deck, and rain fell in sheets against the glass that stretched across the back of her house. "Do I need to worry?" she asked. "No." I set the popcorn on the table in front of us and tucked her into my side. "This isn't bad."
"So I can stop waiting for the dune to break?"
She peered over as the chaise moved again. I kept my laugh well and smothered. "The dune isn't going to break, Kitty. That would take a hurricane, or at least a healthy storm surge." My cell phone rang, and I grabbed it with my left hand so I wouldn't have to let go of Morgan. Then muttered a curse when the caller ID flashed. "Shit, it's the station," I told her with a wince. "Sorry, I'm on call."
"Well then answer it."
She flashed me a smile and clicked on comedies while I swiped to take the call. "Montgomery," I answered. "Thank God." Sawyer's voice was tight, which immediately set me on edge. "Tell me you're at your house." "I'm at Morgan's." I got up and walked to the windows. We had about an hour until sunset, so I had no problem seeing the massive white caps roiling angrily just beyond our beach. "Close enough. A call just came in. The other crew is already engaged, and Hastings just slipped on the fucking deck. I'm pretty sure he broke his leg. Garrett's looking at him right now." "Is it urgent?" The last thing I wanted was to leave Morgan and haul my ass out into a storm for someone who didn't actually need my help. Problem was, if they called us, they needed the fucking help. "Life-threatening. We've got a capsizing fishing vessel with two sailors on board. How fast can you get in here?" "Shit. Run up the bird. I'll be there in 6 minutes. Roger." I ended the call and slid the phone into my pocket. It would take him roughly 10 minutes to get the bird through pre-flight.
"Don't go."
The words carried the brittle sound of terror as Morgan reached my side. That same fear manifested in her wide eyes. "Kitty, I have to." I cupped her face. "It sounds like Hastings fell and broke his leg, and Sawyer can't go out alone. I gotta go save some lives." She ripped her face from my hands and pointed at the sea.
"And who exactly is going to show up and save your life? You can't go out in this."
Her muscles locked and her pupils blew. My stomach twisted. This was bad, and I didn't have the time to reassure her like she needed. It would have been great if Sam had shown up right about now. "I know it looks bad out there, but I've flown in far worse. I had to be out of here in the next 90 seconds. I will be fine." She shook her head.
"No, no, no. The visibility is shit. What do you think the ceiling is? 500 feet?
I glanced toward the sky. Probably closer to 4... "Wait, how do you know what a ceiling is?"
"Because I helped him study during primary."
Her voice pitched to a near shriek. Fantastic. My girl was terrified and knew what she was talking about. "Morgan, honey, I'm more than comfortable with 400 feet, and I'm just fine flying IFR. Not that I was a fan of having to fly instruments during shit weather, but it was better than letting people die. She looked out at the ocean and back to me.
"Call the pilot in command. There's no way this can be approved. Look at it."
If I hadn't known her past, I would have kissed her on the forehead and walked out the door, which was pretty much what I needed to do anyway. I already checked in with him and the flight's approved. I grasped her shoulders lightly, hoping the physical connection would emotionally ground her. "I have to go, and I don't want to leave you like this, but people will die if I do not leave right now. Do you understand, honey?"
"Who would approve this?"
She cried as the chaise slammed against the window. Perfect fucking timing. "Me," I said as calmly as possible. I was down to 20 seconds, if that. "I'm the pilot in command." Her shoulders slumped in defeat and it crippled a part of my soul. God, I'd never wanted to be the one who caused that kind of defeat in her.
And if I asked you not to? If I asked you to choose your own life over those people out there?
Misery emanated from her so thick I could almost taste it. How could you die for them and not live for me? Those were the words she'd screamed at Will's truck the night I told her I was an SAR pilot. I slid my hands to cradle the back of her head. I'm not choosing their lives over mine. I wouldn't risk my crew like that. I wouldn't risk Finley's future or yours, Morgan. Do you trust me? She nodded slowly. Then trust that I won't put myself in unnecessary danger. I have to go.
Okay.
She swallowed and blinked back tears without letting them fall.
Okay. You go. I'll wait here. But don't expect any popcorn to be left by the time you get back.
Her words shook, but I'd take them. I couldn't begin to guess what saying them had cost her. I yanked her into my arms and pressed a hard kiss to her forehead, then pulled back so I could see those gorgeous brown eyes again. I love you, Morgan. Her eyes widened even further. I love you more than I can possibly tell you in the next 3 seconds, so you'll just have to take my word for it. I will come home to you, I promise. Do you believe me? Her lower lip trembled, but she nodded. I kissed her, hard and quick. I love you, I said against her mouth, because it felt so fucking good to say the words. Then I walked out of Morgan's house and ran the rest of the way to my car. I was dressed and in the seat 30 seconds after Sawyer finished the pre-flight. We launched immediately. Morgan was right. Ceilings were low and visibility was shit. But I hadn't lied. I was comfortable flying in it. I just didn't like it. And when that fishing boat's mast came within inches of my tail rotor in those choppy-ass seas and gusting winds, she nearly took us down with her. But there was zero chance in hell I was ever going to tell that part of this story to Morgan. Not ever.
Chapter 21. Morgan. I want you to be happy. Never forget that. I glanced at my phone again and read his text message for the 100th time. Jackson, landed safe. I'll be there after debrief. The message had come in an hour ago, at which time I'd started breathing again. The bowl of popcorn sat untouched on the table, and my book remained unread in my lap. I'd been staring at my wall of windows for the last 3 hours and 27 minutes, listening to the rain pelt the glass mercilessly. I hadn't even prayed that he'd come home like he promised, for the fear that God would notice that I still existed, and then take Jackson too. He loved me. How could that incredible, kind, frustrating, stubborn phenomenon of a man love me? How was I supposed to be worthy of that? This was it. If I stayed with Jackson and accepted his love, this was what my life would look like. How many hours would I stare at the windows and wait for him to come home? How many times would he kiss me and walk out the door in those kinds of conditions? How many times would he risk his life? At what point would he be on the losing end of that risk? At what point would I be? But he loved me. Did he expect me to say it back? I was falling for him. I'd already admitted that much. But love? I wasn't sure I was even capable of that in the way he deserved. Now, if the man was interested in some hardcore infatuation, I could serve that up to him on a platter. What was I going to say to him when he walked in that door? Was I really willing to endure this paralyzing fear every day just so I could be with him? If so, did that make me noble? Or really damned stupid? Knock, knock, knock. I jumped off the couch and raced for the door, not bothering to check the peephole before throwing it open. Jackson stood in the doorway, leaning on the outside of the frame. Humidity from the spent storm rushed at my skin, but at least the rain had stopped. Why did he have to be so freaking gorgeous? He stared at me with a mixture of apprehension, joy, and exhaustion, still in his flat suit and boots. Our eyes locked in a wordless conversation, his tone apologetic and mine accusatory, and relieved. He didn't ask to come in or profess his love again. He simply stood and waited for my decision. Every cell in my body screamed with longing, demanding I touch him and make sure he was real. I should have shut the door. I already walked a fine line between sanity and, well, not. And the last thing my mental health needed was another night like this one. Logic dictated that I re-examine my commitment and then run as fast as I possibly could to the nearest guy with a desk job who would have me. But one thing hadn't changed at my core. I was never smart when it came to my heart, and my heart wanted Jackson. One step, and I had my mouth on his, locked in a kiss that said all I needed to. He didn't hesitate. In less than a heartbeat, his tongue twined with mine. His hands gripped my ass as he picked me up, and I locked my legs around his waist. I heard the door slam, then found my back against the smooth surface. I gripped his hair lightly with one hand, anchored the other one around his neck, and kissed him with everything I had. It was hot, messy, and thick with a primal urgency that sent an avalanche of need barreling through my system. He held me with one arm and tunneled his fingers through the hair at the nape of my neck, cushioning my head against the door. Even when the kiss spun out of control, he was careful with me. I unleashed all the anger and desperation that had kept me frozen these last few hours, giving my body free rein with the emotions. My teeth caught his lower lip with a scrape that I would have normally softened to a graze, but nothing about me felt soft right now. I was a living, breathing flame, and he could either back away or choose to burn with me, because there was no putting out this fire. He hissed softly, then kissed me harder, slanting my head and taking my mouth with deep, deft strokes that mimicked what I hoped he'd be doing with a very different body part soon. I needed more. I needed him to torch every thought in my head until all that remained was my undeniable hunger for him. He ripped his mouth away, leaving us both heaving with uneven breaths. Morgan, I hate you, I snapped. That's not true. His eyes softened. Damn him. I hate your job, I countered. I hate that it's not just what you do, but who you are. I know. His hand slid from my hair to cut my cheek gently. I hate what you do to me. Hate that I sat here tonight wondering who would call me this time when... I swallowed hard. I'm here, he assured me with a soft, lingering kiss. No one had to call, because I'm here. I'm fine. This time, I spat. His jaw ticked, and something I didn't want to examine flashed through his eyes. I hate how you make me feel. My eyes burned. How I can't decide if the fire is hotter in the hell where I choose to live, with the terror I felt when you walked out the door tonight, or the one where I have to figure out how to walk away from you. Because either way, how I feel about you is going to eventually incinerate me. The intensity of it was just as frightening as watching him drive off into the storm. All I can say is that I love you. His thumb stroked my cheek, as if his touch alone could soothe the riot of feelings warring for dominance within me. That doesn't make this easier! Instead of shoving him away, I leaned my forehead against his and tightened my thighs around his waist. I felt him hard and insistent against the seam of my shorts and barely managed to keep my hips still. It didn't matter how frustrated and pissed off I was at my own feelings for the man. I still wanted him. That was the damned problem. I know. But it's all I have. His fingers flexed, and he gave me a little more of his weight, pinning me against the door with the pressure of his hips. I love you.
Stop saying that!
My heart leaped and my pulse skittered as the ache between my thighs flared at the heat between our bodies.
No.
He pulled his head back far enough that I could look into his eyes. So beautiful. Everything about him was beautiful.
I'll stop kissing you. Stop touching you if that's what you want. I'll put you down and walk out this very second if you ask me to. I'll do anything you ask, except that.
Quit flying,
I muttered with a ridiculous pout. I may as well have asked him to carve out his very nature and set it on fire just to appease me. We both knew neither of us would like him much without it. He snorted softly, recognizing my shit attempt at a joke, and then used those eyes of his to see into my freaking soul. I'm going to tell you how I feel, until you choose the hell that rips us apart. And even then, I'll probably still tell you. What I feel for you isn't quiet. It's loud and inconvenient and demands to be said as often as possible.
Jackson, I whispered in a plea. For him to stop or to say more, I didn't know anymore. Every time I thought I had my bearings with him, I got my feet knocked out from under me again.
I've waited my entire life to love you, Morgan. Everything that came before was just to prepare me for your arrival, to teach me how to love you.
I don't want to fall in love with you, I whispered.
I know that too. The look he leveled on me was so tender I melted. Thank God for the door. I keep my promises. I'll always keep them when it comes to you. And tonight made me realize that I can't promise that I'll never crash. I can't avoid every accident, mechanical failure, or act of God. That kind of promise isn't fair to you. Not after all you've been through. There are some things that are beyond my control, no matter how good I am in the cockpit.
He caressed my cheek, and I leaned into it, hating his words even as his honesty touched me in a way no promise ever could have. I know, I cradled his face. And I know I'm irrational sometimes, but I'm so afraid that I'll lose you. I barely made it through.
I swallowed the lump in my throat and concentrated on Jackson. Just Jackson. He was the only man allowed in my headspace right now.
It will kill me if I lose you.
I won't survive it. His eyes closed as he took a deep breath, and when they opened, they shone with resolve. I promise you that I will never put a rescue above my own life. I promise that I will never knowingly put my life at risk. I promise that while I'm the best SAR pilot at our air station, I'll work my ass off to be the best SAR pilot in the fucking country just to make sure that you don't have uniforms show up at our door. And while I can't promise they won't show up anyway, I swear to God that you'll never get that news secondhand. Never again. I'm already cautious because of Finley, but I'll double down for you. I promise that I will do everything in my power to always walk back through that door.
Oh God, the scales were tipping. My choice was fading as though it had never existed to begin with. He saw it too. His grip shifted to my thigh as his gaze fell to my lips. Then he lowered his mouth to mine. And the sweetness of the kiss was at poignant, perfect odds with the need that had its claws in my belly. Wanting him wasn't just physical anymore. I wanted to wrap my soul around his.
And I promise that as long as I live, you won't regret being with me. I can't even suggest that it will be easy, because that's a huge lie. But I swear that I will always make the shitty lows pale in comparison to the incredible highs. You're loved, Morgan, whether or not you want to be. But please give me the chance to show you how much.
My stupid heart picked up. I believed him. He'd mitigate what risk there was, and I'd have to pray it would be enough, because I hadn't lied. I wouldn't survive losing him. Okay. A smile curved the corners of my lips. Show me how much. His smile made my own bigger, but I only saw it for a heartbeat before his mouth consumed mine in a kiss that demanded all of my attention. It was all lips and teeth and tongue, and our touches changed from soothing strokes to needy handfuls of hair and clothes. I broke the kiss with a gasp and yanked my sweatshirt over my head. His eyes darkened as he took in the purple lace that cupped my breasts, and the next kiss was twice as hungry.
My hands worked between us to unzip his flight suit, and I growled in frustration when my fingers found the soft cotton of his t-shirt instead of skin. "How many layers are you wearing?" He had the nerve to chuckle, but he shifted his fingers from my thigh and cupped my core through my shorts. "Is someone impatient?" "For someone who promised to show me how much he loved me, you're sure not showing much." I cocked an eyebrow and glanced at his torso. His grin was pure sex, and my body responded with a wave of heat. I was fucking molten. "God, I love you." He stole my response with a kiss, and then we were moving. I ground my hips over his, seeking any kind of relief as he carried me up the stairs. He made it to the top before bracing me against the wall and unhooking my bra. I shed it quickly. He lifted me like I weighed nothing and sucked my nipple into his mouth. I cried out and arched for more, gripping his shoulders for balance. His lips were soft, his teeth sharp as he raked them over the delicate flesh, then soothed the sting with a flick of his tongue. He gave the other breast the same treatment, and by the time he was finished, I was ready to shove our clothes aside and have him in the hallway. "Your breasts are fucking incredible." He gave me one last suck and then lowered me so our mouths were level. "I'm going to devour you." Then he did. He kissed me like a starving man who had stumbled onto a feast as he took me into my bedroom. The fabric of his flight suit rasped over my sensitive skin, but I didn't care. No touch was hard enough, no kiss long enough. The lights flicked on, he lowered me to my bed, and then he made quick work of getting out of his own clothes, freakishly quick work of his boots, too. I reached for the buttonfly of my shorts, and he shook his head. "Unwrapping is half the fun." I dropped my hands and propped myself up on my elbows so I could watch him. My mouth watered at the mind-blowing perfection of his body, and my lips parted at the sight of that deeply carved V that ran down the sides of his abs and disappeared into his black boxer briefs. I was going to trace that line with my tongue the second he got into this bed. The muscles of his arms rippled as he grabbed his wallet. He flipped it open, took out a foil packet, and held it up with a raised eyebrow. I nodded, my tongue too thick in my mouth to manage the words to affirm that's exactly where we were headed. There was a brand new box in my nightstand, too. Something told me he wasn't a one-and-done kind of guy. The packet landed somewhere to my right. His weight settled over me, and I groaned into his kiss at the feel of his skin on mine. His mouth claimed my neck again, then lingered at my breasts before kissing a path down my stomach. My fingers threaded through his hair, desperate to hold on to whatever part of him I could. "I've wanted to do this for so damned long." He pressed an open-mouthed kiss at the inside of my hip. "From the moment I saw you on that beach." He flicked open the button of my shorts, and I lifted my hips so he could drag the fabric down my body. "I thought God had taken every fantasy I'd ever had and molded you out of them. You were, you are, the most devastatingly gorgeous man I've ever seen." His eyes locked with mine, flaring with a touch of surprise as my shorts landed somewhere on the floor. Hadn't I ever told him that before? I might have been broken then, but I wasn't dead. I smiled as I sat up and rose to my knees. His eyes raked over me as he dragged his tongue across his lower lip. "The things I'm going to do to you," he murmured. "Me first." I pressed on his chest, and he protested with his eyes, but took the hint and rolled so he was on his back with his head on my pillow. My breath hitched, and my pulse kicked up another notch as I looked my fill. "I don't have words for you," I admitted, trailing my fingers from the strong line of his neck to his chest and down his abs to pause at the tattoos of latitude and longitude that ran the length of his right side. "What are these?" "They mark places." He put one hand behind his head and ran the other down my back, but his muscles were tight with restraint. He wasn't nearly as relaxed as he tried to let on. I lowered my lips and kissed the marks. Where do they lead? He sucked in a breath, so I did it again, picking the first line of ink. His skin was warm and firm, and he had that faint tang of metal in his scent that marked hours spent in a helicopter.
That one is my hometown, where I was born.
His fingers drifted up my neck and into my hair. And this one? I kissed the next tattoo. His abs jumped and flexed. Just off the coast of Maine, where his parents died. I turned my attention to the last coordinates. And this one?
Mobile, Alabama. Flight school, where Finn was born.
I nodded and shifted so I could get to my original destination, selfishly glad that none of those places involved another woman.
Kitty, you're driving me.
His fingers tightened in my hair and he let out a groan as I licked down the V of his abs. These have had me distracted since day one. I got to know those two lines intimately with my mouth, inhaling his ocean and copper scent with the taste of his skin until I was drunk on him. When I reached the waistband of his boxer briefs, I found the head of his erection rising above the elastic and then swiped my tongue right over the bead of moisture that had gathered there.
Fuck.
His cry was guttural, and I felt it like a caress. I was going to find every single spot on him that earned me the same response, and the world spun, and I landed on my back under Jackson. I would have asked him if he was against oral sex, but the way he looked at me was anything but angry. He reminded me of a jungle cat, a predator that had his prey exactly where he wanted her.
That's not how this first time is going down.
His voice dropped as he settled between my spread thighs.
Mercy, he was right. There.
It's not? I asked, all breathy as he shook his head slowly. Before I could ask him exactly how it was going to go down, suddenly he was. My breath came in a stuttered gasp as he slid down my body, then cupped me between my thighs.
Damn, Kitty. You're soaked. I can feel how wet you are through the lace.
His breaths came faster as he hooked the purple bands of my underwear in his fingers and looked up at me for permission. I nodded. Hell yes, I wanted them gone. I wanted his gone too. Naked was good. His jaw flexed as he took them down my legs, leaving me bare. Then he sat back on his knees between my thighs, his gaze traveling my body with a heated stare. My skin flushed as if he'd actually touched me. I was going to combust if he didn't touch me soon. He dragged his eyes to mine.
Are we still alone? I didn't see any other cars.
I nodded. Sam doesn't come home until tomorrow. Why? God, was he going to move? Or were we really going to lay here and discuss travel plans?
Just checking before I make you scream.
He pushed my thighs wide, held me apart with his thumbs, and set his mouth on my core. Jackson! There weren't words. There were only feelings, as his tongue licked long and hard through my cleft, then flicked over my clit. Holy shit, it felt incredible. I rocked my hips when he did it again, and he pinned them to the bed with his hands, holding me in place so I couldn't chase his mouth. I could only accept what he gave.
I'm doing this every fucking day,
he growled against my clit, and the vibration sent a jolt of pleasure so intense that I gasped.
Every lick, fucking lick, day.
He sucked lightly on my clit, and I screamed.
Maybe you'll be my breakfast from now on.
He plunged his tongue inside me, and my hands fisted in the covers as I moaned. Jackson, God, that feels so good. Good wasn't even the right word, but my brain wasn't exactly on vocabulary.
Or would it be better to save you for dessert?
He mused, then ran his tongue around my clit but not touching it.
My reward at the end of the day.
We locked eyes. And he held the contact as he repeated the stroke.
Erotic.
That was the only way to describe it. My head fell back against the pillow as he swirled and swirled, the pleasure of it all coiled low within me, but he didn't increase the pressure to push me over.
Jackson,
I demanded with a whimper, You don't like it?
He asked, and I felt his smile before he licked into me again. Shit! I screamed. Yes, I... What are you doing to me? He had strung me so tight that I was bound to break at any second.
Making it last, he answered.
I was never going to look at his mouth the same way again.
I've wanted you too long for this to be over quickly.
He swiped again, but this time he lightly danced the tip of his tongue over my clit. My cry was a high-pitched keen as he kept the pressure light enough to inflame, but not ignite. Both, I shouted.
I'm sorry?
His eyebrow rose. My chest heaved and every nerve in my body felt raw and exposed. Breakfast and dessert. Have both. Just let me come. He pressed a kiss to the line of curls just above my cleft and breathed in deep. That's a deal. Eyes still locked on mine. He sucked my clit into his mouth and lashed at it with his tongue. That spiral of pleasure in my belly wound so tight that my thighs locked, and when he pressed against me with the flat of his tongue and hummed, I came so hard that I wasn't sure I still inhabited my own body. Waves of pleasure came from me as I called his name, each one a little less intense than the last, as he carefully brought me down from the high. My entire body jolted when he swept his tongue through my core one last time, then rose above me. You are a sorcerer, I accused through my brain fog. Pants off now. He grinned, but did as I demanded, without correcting me that they weren't pants. I fumbled for the packet in the covers next to me, found it, and ripped it open as he climbed back between my thighs. I bit my lip with anticipation at the sheer size of him. If there were perfect dicks in the world, then Jackson had one of them. He hissed, his stomach muscles tensing as I rolled the condom over him, then squeezed his length lightly. He was hard as stone and so hot that he warmed my palm. I raised my hands to his shoulders as he hovered over me, his weight braced on one elbow as he positioned himself at my entrance with the other.
Tell me you want this.
His eyes searched mine, as if there was any chance I'd changed my mind. It's been 4 years, I blurted, and there were only two others. His jaw popped once, twice. The strain was evident in every line of his face as he lifted his hand to cup mine.
I'll be careful. And I don't care who came before. As long as you're mine now.
Only yours, I promised with a nod. And don't... I don't want to know your number. Not right now, anyway. Mercy, I was babbling. The hottest, most important moment of my life, and I couldn't hush up. His eyes flared with amusement, but the rest of him was tense.
No one who came before mattered as much as you do.
I swallowed, knowing there was at least one and hating myself for letting her into this moment. He brushed a soft kiss on my lips as if he read my thoughts.
I've never loved anyone the way I love you. I don't want to just possess your body right now. I want your fucking soul, Morgan.
Is that your way of saying you're mine too? The pressure of him at my core made me adjust my hips slightly, taking him inside me just the slightest inch. There was that jaw pop again, but his eyes were still tender.
You already own my soul. I'm yours.
My heart threatened to explode. The ache was that sweet and strong. I want this, I assured him, hooking an ankle over his back. I want you, Jackson. He kissed me hard and rolled his hips, filling me with one long thrust. We both cried out. There was a slight burn as my muscles stretched to accommodate him, but it was nothing compared to the sensation of having him inside me. His mouth tensed over mine, and his eyes squeezed shut, so tight that he looked like he was in pain as he fought for control. One breath, two, three, four passed before his gaze met mine. His pupils were blown, and his muscles were tied under my fingers.
You feel so fucking good,
he groaned.
Are you okay?
God, yes. I clenched my core instinctively.
Good.
His mouth took mine as he pulled back and pushed in again, which had us both groaning.
I'm going to live here. Right here,
he promised.
then set a rhythm with hard, slow thrusts. Every stroke felt like a higher degree of heaven. We moved together like this was our 100th time, not our first. It was effortless, and so damned good each time I met his hips with mine that I craved him in the seconds between, when he wasn't deep inside me. He never faltered, never slowed, never shortened his strokes. The man used his body like a machine to draw every ounce of pleasure possible from my flesh. My nails dug into his back as sweat beaded on our skin. My breath caught and my eyes widened as I felt that same tight pleasure spiral deep within me. Oh God, was I really going to come again? Was it possible? Jackson, I whimpered. God, Morgan. He cradled the back of my head with one hand, pushed my knee higher with the other, and slid even deeper, changing our angle. Tight. Everything was tight. My skin, my muscles, my very bones stiffened as my cries came in time with his thrusts. He slid his hand down my thigh and slipped his thumb between us, then worked my clit at an alternating rhythm. You have to come for me, baby. I can't hold out much longer. You feel way too damned good, and I've wanted you for too long. His words and the look in his eyes sent me to the brink, and then he pushed me right over it with his body. I cried out his name as the orgasm barreled through me, stronger and deeper than the first had been. Yes, he groaned with a kiss. I love you. His grip shifted, and his hips swung with abandon as his control snapped. I clung to him through the aftershocks of my orgasm, and he joined me with his own, my name on his lips, as his face fell to the cradle of my neck, as it took him. Moments passed while we struggled to catch our breath. He rolled to the side so he wouldn't crush me, taking me with him so my legs still draped over his hip. His gaze flitted over my features, taking in everything before settling on my eyes. He reached for my face and pressed a kiss to my lips. Mine, he said softly. I could hardly deny it, nor did I want to. The man had just transformed my entire reality and tethered himself to my soul. Mine. I smiled and kissed him right back. True, he grinned. We both cleaned up, and neither of us put clothes on as we slid back between the sheets. He pulled me against him with a kiss. I think you just changed the tides. That blew every fantasy I've ever had clean out of the water. Glad I could live up to the hype. I kissed his chin. How different this night had turned out. And yet this was exactly where I'd imagined we'd wind up. A thought sobered me, and I pulled away to look at Jackson. How is Hastings's leg? I didn't think to call Christina. He swallowed and yanked his gaze from mine, blinking rapidly. I'm not sure. I think Garrett mentioned that he might need a screw or two so they can set it. My face puckered. That stinks. I'll bake some cookies and take them over tomorrow. You are entirely too sweet. He pulled me into another kiss, and this one deepened. Shit. What? I only had the one condom. The rest are at my house, and I don't want to leave you here all warm and naked. But I also know we're about 3 minutes away from starting up again. His brow puckered. 3 minutes, huh? You're certain about that? I teased. He lifted a brow, took my hand to his groin, and my entire body liquefied at how hard he already was again. Good thing I'm a big girl and bought a box myself, because that feels more like 2 minutes than three. I stroked him with a pump of my hand. He groaned, then rolled me to my back with a heart-stopping grin. Thank God. I knew I fell in love with you for a reason. He didn't make me wait 3 minutes, or even two. That box was short more than just one condom by the morning.
Chapter 22. Jackson. I hated working nights. It meant less time with Morgan and Finn because I was always asleep when they were awake and vice versa. But tonight was my last night shift for another month, so I'd just have to suck it up. After zipping up my flight suit, I checked Finn's room, but it was empty. The laughter coming from downstairs explained it. I found my girls in the dining room, Finley in a chair with her new cat perched on her lap, and Morgan behind her, weaving her hair into another crown of braids that happened to match the very one she was wearing in her hair. But Finley's had red, white, and blue ribbons threaded through it. "What's so funny?" I asked, leaning against the bar. God, I could get used to this. Having Morgan here with Finn made everything seem complete, whole.
"Morgan had a cat, too. He spilled glasses of water on her mama every day," Finn exclaimed, stroking Juno's fur.
"Batted them right off the end table,"
Morgan added with a smile and threw a wink at me. Fuck, I loved this woman, and it was okay that she hadn't said it back yet. Eventually my charms would wear her down. "Oh, so just as people-friendly as Juno over here?" I eyed the tabby and kept my distance. Finley had dragged the thing out of the rain a little over 2 weeks ago and worked her magic on her. And me. A trip to the vet later, we now had a cat that despised me and hissed at every opportunity.
"Hey, Juno likes people," Finley argued.
"Sure, people who aren't your father," I countered as the cat stared me down. Morgan pressed her lips together to keep from laughing and finished Finn's braid.
"You're all set, my dear."
"Thank you,"
Finley sang, already headed to the nearest mirror. "Make sure you're packed for your mom's. We're leaving in 10 minutes, I called after her. Morgan walked straight into my arms, laying her cheek flat just below the patches on my chest. "I hate I have to work tonight," I said into her hair, breathing in her scent as I held her close.
"Me too."
"You sure you'll be okay?" I tipped her chin up to look in her eyes and got knocked on my emotional ass just like I did every time.
"I'm fine,"
she insisted, dropping her voice to a whisper.
"Don't get me wrong. I'd rather sneak over and spend the night in your bed. But Sam and I are good. Mia and Joey are coming down. Figured between us we can get the battery changed in the truck, too. Turns out all that opening and closing of doors wears that sucker down if you don't crank the engine."
"I can do it if you want," I offered, already knowing the answer.
"I've got it. Once we get that done, we're headed to the fireworks and we're meeting up with Christina, too."
"Out on the town with Mia, huh?" My eyebrows rose. "Does that mean I can expect a call from Sam to come use my stellar rescue moves?" She crinkled her nose.
"That was one time."
Her lips looked so damn kissable. They always did, but it had been a good hour since I'd kissed her, and I was already going into withdrawals. I'd had her in my bed for the last 3 weeks, whenever we managed alone time, and I could never get enough. I always wanted one more touch, one more kiss, one more everything.
"Jackson Montgomery, I know you're not looking at me like that with your daughter in the next room," she whispered with a little grin.
"Looking at you how?" I teased, sliding my hand down the small of her back. This sundress was going to be the death of me. It was the same one she'd been wearing the day I met her, and I was dying to know what underwear she had on under it.
"Like you're not thinking wholesome thoughts?"
She arched an eyebrow but lifted her hands to twine behind my neck. I lowered my head so I could whisper in her ear. "Wholesome? I'm thinking of a whole lot of ways to get you out of that dress, if that counts." I ran my teeth along the shell of her ear and she shivered.
"Jackson,"
she warned in that breathless way that wasn't a warning at all. "Morgan." I pulled her hips against me and kissed the spot just beneath her ear. She tilted her head so I took the spot just beneath that one, which happened to be ultra-sensitive on her neck. Her breath hitched and her pulse picked up beneath my lips. "You smell incredible. What is that, vanilla?" I took another nibble. She gasped, then pushed out of my arms and made a fuss over her dress as her cheeks tinged pink.
"Cookie dough."
"No wonder you taste extra sweet today." I smirked, knowing she wasn't as unaffected as she tried to look. "Get over here and let me kiss you." Her eyes widened as her gaze darted to the living room.
"Finley is going to be back down here any second."
"And?" I moved forward and she danced backward just out of my grasp.
"And she'll see."
She pulled the dining room chair between us like that flimsy little thing would keep me away. "And?" I restated as she backed her way around the table toward the sliding glass door. I skirted the chair, and she made a mad dash for the other side of the table, putting her right back where I'd started.
"You cannot be serious."
She folded her arms across her chest, which lifted the swells of her breasts to her neckline and made me groan. I happen to think it's pretty healthy for a kid to see her dad madly in love. I held her gaze so she knew I meant every word. I had no problem with Finn seeing me kiss Morgan. It wasn't like we were getting hot and heavy. But Morgan had kept a 5-foot distance from me whenever Finn was in the room, after the whole bursting in post-orgasm thing Memorial Day weekend. And I am deeply, madly, wickedly in love with you, Morgan Bartley. Her lips parted, and her posture softened, just like it did every time I told her that. I pounced, swinging onto the table and sliding straight across to land in front of Morgan. She gasped as I caged her, putting my hands on the bar on either side of her. "You aren't human." The spark in her eyes was the stuff dreams were made of. "Kiss me." I dropped my voice and leaned my body against hers. She melted and her head tipped up, but she didn't make her move. "I don't care if Finn sees you kiss me. Hell, it would probably give her the only example she's ever had of what a healthy relationship looks like." I ran my lips up her jaw as Finley stomped around above us in her room. "Is that your reason? Or your excuse?" she questioned, her hands fisting in the fabric of my flight suit. "The only reason I ever need to kiss you is because I want to. And I always want to. You consume an inappropriate amount of my thoughts."
"My thoughts about you are usually inappropriate, so I think we're well matched."
Her head fell to the side and I pressed an open-mouthed kiss against her throat, listening for footsteps. Kissing Morgan in front of Finn was one thing, but getting caught in the act of seducing her was another. "How inappropriate?" I asked against her neck. "Are we talking R rating or NC-17? I lifted my head slightly. She turned her face so our lips were a breath apart.
"I'll let you use your imagination."
My heart rate kicked up. You'd be surprised at the things I can imagine. Her gaze dropped to my lips. "Nearly there."
"You drive me to distraction," she whispered.
"Pot meet kettle. Kiss me, kitty." I was going to lose my mind any second.
"So impatient," she teased, then closed the inches between us and kissed me.
I kept my groan in check, listened again for Finn's footsteps upstairs, and sank into Morgan's mouth. She gasped and pushed at my chest even as she kissed me back. "I can hear her upstairs," I explained against her lips. Her hand stopped pushing and grabbed instead. I gladly went where she tugged, pressing us against the half wall as I kissed her breathless. The problem with kissing Morgan was that I lost myself in the process. There was no calm control or suave moves. There was just a consuming hunger between us and my insatiable need to please her. Finn's footsteps thudded down the stairs, and I slid my tongue from Morgan's mouth with more than a little regret that we weren't alone. She whimpered quietly, and I gentled the kiss to a brush of my mouth as Finn came around the corner.
"There you are."
She huffed like she'd been looking everywhere.
"Morgan, can Juno spend the night at your house?"
I reluctantly lifted my lips from Morgan's and grinned. She blushed bright red and gave me a good glare before turning a sweet smile on Finley.
"What, honey? You need me to watch Juno? She bit Mama last week."
She scrunched her face as she hefted the cat into her arms.
"And then she peed in Dad's shoe."
Morgan stifled a laugh. "It's true. That cat hates me."
"Sure, Finn. Just grab her carrier and her bowls and stuff, and I'll take her home with me."
Just when I thought I couldn't love her more.
"Thank you."
Finn put Juno down and ran for the cat supplies, her unicorn backpack bobbing right along with her. "You must really love me if you're willing to babysit Satan's personal feline." I grabbed her hips and twisted her to face me.
"I must really love your daughter,"
she countered with a smirk, pressing up against me. Her eyes dropped to the current situation in my boxer briefs. "Can't help it," I said with a shrug. "If Finley wasn't here, I'd have you on your back on the dining room table and your ankles on my shoulders right now." Fuck, just the thought of it spurred my unruly dick on. She shook her head and stepped backward, retreating.
"Serves you right for kissing me in front of your daughter."
"You kiss me, actually."
"Semantics," she teased with mock shock. "You better do something about that. Wouldn't want the boys at the station to think you've got a going-away present for them."
Cruel, cruel woman. She leaned over the bar, hauled back two giant Ziploc bags and dangled one.
Take it back.
Oh, shit. If those are half as good as you smell, then I'll take back anything you want me to. The gold in her sea glass necklace sparkled in the light as she laughed.
Remember to share?
I let my gaze drop to her breasts. Never.
The cookies, you insufferable man.
Right, cookies. Once Finley reappeared with the cat carrier, Morgan cajoled Satan's mistress into the contraption and packed up the food Finn forgot into a spare bag. She walked us out, and once Finn was in the car, I kissed Morgan goodbye long and hard outside the garage. I love you.
You're just saying that because I'm taking Juno so she doesn't pee in your shoes.
She grinned against my mouth. I'm saying it because it's true. I cupped the back of her neck and lamented my work schedule for the 100th time.
Be safe tonight, okay?
Some of the light died in her eyes. She did her best to lock down the fear, but it was always there, a nail scratch from the surface. I kissed her hard. I will. I'll text you if I end up flying. She did better if I sent a before and after message, which we'd learned the week after my storm call.
Okay.
I love you, Morgan. I kissed her one last time, effectively keeping her from muttering something like, I adore you.